Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
It is Heart to Heart. My name is Sibongile Mofokeng, and I'm with you up until 3 o'clock. Do you remember by 3 o'clock? Germany, Johan L says hello, hello, and I say bye-bye. So, yeah, that's how we do it. And we gave you sounds of Endimasiye, I Will Serve No Foreign God. And yes, we're sitting on 11 minutes just after 1. And I see messages from Malindi. Malindi says, hi, Sis Bongile, thank you so much. Ngomam Hubert for encouraging us. Sis Nipegene. Ne challenge, yes, Kofi Somtwana. They handed over to lawyer. I am not working, but they demand 1,300 every month. Okay. I'm not quite sure if I'll be able to find that song for you, Mama Lindi, Sis Lindi Iwe. But we are trusting God to come through. May the Lord Holy Spirit intervene in your space. During this time, and may He provide, may He meet you at your point of need in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and we believe, we stand in Him, we trust in Him. He's our only hope, He's our only provider, He's our only God, and in Him we will look. And Memu says, I really got blessed by that message and being reminded that God is with us in the storm. He is with us in the storm. In everything that we're going through, He is with us. He is with us. He is faithful to keep His word, that He never leaves us nor forsake us. And on the line, as I promised, for the first time in 2020, talking to the beautiful Queen, I don't know. Why did you call me Kamabito Otehela? Kari, Mam Rifilwe, SAPS member, Muruti, Sis Rifi. Ay, Naksait.
Yeah.
How are you, my queen?
I'm very well, and you as well.
I am blessed of the Lord. Welcome yet again on Radio Pulpit.
Thank you so much for having me, and good day to the listeners. My family.
Yeah.
It's been long.
I know. Yeah. We understand. Yeah. But I am so glad that in 2022 we got other thoughts, and we will be doing things in a different way than how the family is used to us doing them. So I can't wait. But yeah, welcome again. And today we are talking about something that is happening, and we see this thing happening in many, or at many times it's happening, where a person would create a content that is demeaning to a child, that involves sexual abuse or physical abuse or emotional or mental, like really bad content about a child, and the child's face is on the video. And I was saying to the family, there has been one that has been making rounds throughout December. It has gone viral. And I think that little girl could be like 4 years old, something like that. And so I said to the family, we are not getting involved in the case. We don't want to compromise the child nor the case. But we want to talk about creating such content. What are the dangers in doing so? Because people are not aware. I mean, we hear a voice of an adult talking to this little one who's always and constantly on the video doing acts, showing them what happens, saying these things. And the child is innocently doing all of that. But in the coming years, I was asking myself what could happen to the child in the coming years. So what are the dangers in such, in creating such content, Murid?
You know, certainly just compromises the case, first of all, because if the case is still under investigation and there's some utterances that the child is making there, it can really compromise the case.
Mm.
And we are not supposed to be doing that, not even discussing the case while it's still under investigation. It's a mere child who cannot be interviewed by just anyone.
Mm.
There's social workers who are assigned to specifically interview children who are going through this. But to find somebody doing what this lady did is unspeakable, it's embarrassing.
Sure.
How do you even want to listen to this? It's so... You know, when one of our victims send us, you know, and we listen to it, me and my colleague, you know, and we were so sad, you know. Actually, we were shivering that day that, did this really happen?
Hmm.
I mean, why do you do that? And I know there's an act in Freedoms and Publication Act where this lady can, you know, can be charged, you know, with distribution of such material. Because it's not right. Like, logically, human being, so it's not right. So I do not want to go into the case, but I just want to warn all of us against such that how do we take a child through that? That's why you see many times, if the police are involved, they will shake the child's face. Like, you will not see
yes.
who is this child.
Yes.
You know, they will just
change
maybe,
the voice
you know,
as well.
The legs and whatever. But why expose the child to the world like this? Why see it? You know, you can even see that this lady was looking for news. She bought her an ice cream. The child was just running with such bitter news, you know. So, unfortunately, the case might have been compromised, and I hope wherever the case is, or whoever is investigating this case has called the lady and whoever is distributing this material to order, because it's really out of order and unsettling.
Sure. So this can compromise the case. It compromises the child, number one, because the child is our main focus. We care more about the child. And so it compromises the life of a child, which can, in the coming years, also bring about bullying from the peers, like we said. It also compromises the case if we do such things. So somebody says to me, with social media, we've been given the power to can arrest people, you know, to can bring people to book, because sometimes the police are taking too long to do that. And sometimes we as mothers protect the perpetrators. So a person says, but what if I see something happening to a child who is my neighbor? Can I shoot such a video and take it to the police? That's what a person says. Where I'm asking the child questions and the child answers me, then take it to the police. Am I allowed to do that?
You know, the problem comes when one distributes. You see, this one is making so many rounds. If you take it solely for the purpose of, you know, evidence, you know, supporting whatever the case that you're going to make, you know what? But not for distribution. Mm. Not for distribution.
Mm.
And Go report the case. Just go report the case. Your evidence can be enough than you having to shoot such acts. You understand?
Mm.
Why shoot such acts? Why not call on police at that time? Stand there. Call on the members of the community. Why not stop the perpetrator? Why take so much energy in recording such a deed when you can really call for help?
Mm.
So that's what you are asking, that if there's any option of you not recording for purposes of distribution, we see how social media has messed up life.
Hmm.
Like, in as much as it did help somewhere, we know, but this is a child, for heaven's sake. This
sure.
is a poor child. Now I'm talking about this little one, who we cannot expose in any other way. We can't. It does not matter how much pain we feel, but we can expose this child to the world. This child is going to grow up. This child is going to be shown this video after, you know, 40 years. These things, they stay on YouTube. They stay.
Mm.
And how do we expect this child to recover?
Sure.
To forget, to move on?
Sure.
Because there's help that the child needs. The child at that time needs to be taken to the social workers, to you know, child psychologist or clinical, whoever can help the child. And the person who must interview the child is the person who must be ready to go to court and testify.
Yeah, it's somebody who has been assigned by the court as well.
By the court.
Okay.
Because, what happened there was appalling.
All right. Obu James Ferdinand Fanzel says, in law, there is a term called in camera, meaning proceedings carried out in private, in the absence of the public and the press. This is mainly to protect underaged victims. Let's protect victims of all crimes and respect privacy. As Muruti also says, not to mess up case, the case before trial. And so this is what the public does then. Does this apply only when it's children, or does it also apply when it's an older person going through some form of abuse? Say a woman has been abused by the husband in front of everyone. People normally take it to shoot and then spread it on social media. So should we also be protecting that individual, even if it's an adult?
Look, everybody has a right to privacy.
Yeah.
We should not expose people without their permission.
Yeah.
You understand? And we should, in our sexual offenses cases, when our victims are testifying, we don't want anyone in court other than the investigating officer, the prosecutor, magistrate, and so forth, or the judge and the interpreter. Because people need privacy. People are entitled to their privacy. Because what do we do? What is my motive of taking a video? What am I going to help the case with?
You're only going to make it worse for the victim.
So can we just stop it? If we don't have any positiveness to add to people's lives, to transform, to change, to make their lives better from the trauma they've experienced, can we abstain from taking videos that will jeopardize their lives forever? And, you know, some people have got children, they've got relatives, they've got, you know, co-workers. You understand what I'm saying? They don't need to be exposed. They don't need.
Yes.
Unless if you caught it and you're taking it straight to the police just to be kept by the police. But what we see is the opposite, obviously.
Sure. And so what are the penalties for us as the public in spreading this and making it viral? Because I think we think that the law can't get to us. I mean, if already we have thousands and thousands who have sent it out, because when you get some videos on Facebook, on WhatsApp, your WhatsApp would say this video has been shared many times, you know. So you find a person thinking, ugh, I won't also be held liable. I won't be held liable. But does the Lord do something about that? Can I also be charged and also be looked as an accomplice in messing up the case, or in messing up one's life by spreading this and sending it to others, especially after the Poppy Act as well?
I wanted to mention the Poppy Act. Though I haven't gone into, you know, much into it, but I know it has restrictions. So obviously, you know, I think somebody looked at all this that was happening with regard to media, the people thinking they've got freedom to just spread lies, to just say things, to just, you know, distribute, you know, things. Somebody had to, you know, speak up and say, let us stop, let us have restrictions, let us have boundaries. So I'm sure there's charges that can be put. You know, that's why I say there's Freedom and Publication Act. There's an act there. I don't know if it's 23 or 24. Mm-hmm. I just forgot the act. But yes, you can be charged with that, because no one has a right to distribute material, especially pornographic, sexual content. You know, we are not supposed to. So right now, I'm even restricted to just give away your number. You know? So what more about...
To put your face in it. Yes.
Yes.
And it's a crime matter. So we ought to be taking it serious, Muruti. I'm also thinking that in South Africa we lost a child. Was it last year or the year before last? We lost Lufuno, who was abused by going through GBV at school. She was bullied, and there was a video that was making rounds. That also played a part, meaning that then South Africa played a role in abusing the child. And so when we do that, when we spread this, we should be looking at it from that eye, that we might lose another child, we might lose another person over us bullying them via our social media platforms by sharing this kind of information that is so bad, that is so sad, that is, hurtful.
Yes. Now, if we can only use media in a positive way, then we will really help. But the way it's going, you know, it's not going to help us, because everybody wants to expose somebody. Everybody has a phone, and they say, I can take a video of anyone and publish it just to embarrass them and so forth. If our intentions, you know, are not good, then it's not going to add any good, especially us as believers. You know, we must have the spirit of discernment. We must understand the impact, you know, and the effect that whatever action that we do, how will it impact? Even if you want to expose one person, just think that this person has other people. His wife, her, you know, her husband, the children, relatives. So let us make sure that whatever we do it as the best interest of children, of families, that we do not add more harm to what is already traumatizing to them.
Sure. Muruti, thank you so much for sharing these. I think we need to hear it from the SAPS because we never take it serious. It's like, oh, let me share. Okay. You share to 10 people. All at once, so that you can talk about it, and you are compromising the child, you're compromising the case, and compromising a life as well. So thank you so much, Muruti, for highlighting this. And I think in the coming years, as we think, as we see technology, it will be easy for the SAPS to arrest and bring people to book who are sharing such information and also making it viral. But thank you so much for your time. May God bless you. We'll be talking to you again very soon. Have a blessed one.
Thank you for having us.
Bye-bye. Oh my, may the Lord help us. May we use our phones, may we use our social media platforms for a good cause and not to cost a life.
Plug in, feel the pulse on Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit.
As easy as the touch of a button, the message of life on 657 AM.
That is to him, Kok Start, as requested by Mama Lindy. Mam Lindy, where Ma Lindy requested that one. And Ma, I have a response for you in the case that you just gave to us. It says, the mom who says she is not working and they want 1,300 rands every month from her. Public schools provide an option to apply for exemption for parents who cannot afford to pay school fees. And so she should apply for school fees exemption. Unfortunately, she'll still have to pay the one that she owes. That's the response that I got from one of the family members. Just an advice that you can go and apply for a school fees exemption if your child is going to a public school. And so we wish you all the best. May the Lord be with you as you continue, and may He provide for what is needed as well. Alrighty then. And on the line, I'm now joined by Sis Patricia Komani, who is the author of the journal, the Reset Journal, the Vision Reset Journal, and she's on the line with me. My queen, how are you doing today?
I'm good. And how are you?
I'm doing very well. Welcome yet again today.
Thanks for having me once again.
We in 2022, ne? Re batla go tshwara phage ka mangana man. Okay. I'm talking Setswana, now I have to come back. We want to get things right in 2022. We want to do things right in 2022. We don't want to miss our vision. We want our vision to come to pass. All our visions to come to pass. We want them to come to reality. As we are trusting God, as we are believing God for an awesome 2022. Last week, when we spoke to you, we finished our talk and we explained what the vision is, and we touched on the areas of focus where our vision is concerned. So let's just go back 2 seconds, 2 minutes, just to explain to somebody who's joining us for the first time today, what is a vision? How can one explain a vision? I know that we touched even on the book of Habakkuk. We are free to go back to that book. We are free to use the Bible and look at it in the Bible. So what is a vision?
Okay, thank you. But go back to Habakkuk 2 verse 2, right? Mm-hmm. It says, write the vision down and make it plain. For me, a vision is merely the goal that you have that you can imagine or picture with your eyes closed. Because the word vision comes from the word visual. Hmm. Visual, what you see, right? So a vision, it's a goal that you see with your eyes closed, in short, or in summary.
So with your eyes closed.
Yeah. So meaning that you don't need to see with your physical eyes. Mm. When you imagine...
You don't have to be there picture, physically.
Yes, mm-hmm. But you can picture it, you know. You can picture yourself accomplishing that goal. Mm-hmm. If we go back to our example of being the CEO, I can picture myself being a CEO. Mm-hmm. How does being a CEO look like? So when I say picture, it's not necessarily just the picture itself, the image, but how does a CEO look like in the sense of what does it consist of being a CEO? Where would I see myself as a CEO? Do I have a specific company? Do I have a specific industry? You know, you can picture, imagine all of those. It's not just, okay, I want to be a CEO and then it ends there.
Yeah.
You can visualize it. It goes beyond just you saying it.
It goes beyond that. And so what are the benefits in having a vision?
Please repeat.
What are the benefits of me having a vision as well?
Well, I think of the Bible. I'm trying to remember the actual verse. Mm-hmm. But it says, my people shall perish due to lack of knowledge, right?
Yes.
So the benefit of me of having a vision would be, well, one, you acquire knowledge in order you pursue knowledge. So yeah. That would be one. Two, it gives me purpose to live. If I don't have any goals or anything, I don't have that drive to pursue anything. I don't have that drive to I don't have the drive to just
to pursue
longer than what I see myself today. I'm comfortable with where I am. I'm okay with not going further. I'm okay with not growing intellectually, mentally, even spiritually or physically. So having the vision, it pushes you, you know, to grow as an individual. It pushes you to also have an implementation plan. Because if I just have a goal or a dream and I don't visualize it, I will not really go further in saying, how do I actually make this a reality? Mm. So those would be the benefits that I can think of.
Mm-hmm. And so you spoke about focus areas, areas of focus. Okay, now Spongile is good. Your spiritual areas, your financial, and can you just run through those quickly as well for somebody who's just joining us for the first time today?
Okay. So when having vision, it would be advisable to just have vision in all aspects of your life. And what are the aspects of your life? The spiritual goals or the spiritual aspect of your life, the financial, the relationship, the physical and personal. So when talking about spiritual would be how would you want to grow spiritually? If, for example, I use myself and I say, Patricia prays 3 times a day and I want to get closer to God. Mm-hmm. How do I make that a reality? Did I say 3 times a day? 3 times a month.
Mm-hmm.
How do I make that a reality? Mm-hmm. A reality then would be, maybe I need to pray. I need to start praying every day, mm-hmm. for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I go further on. Patricia is not reading the Bible. Maybe I need to start reading one verse mm-hmm. a day and accelerate from there. That would be the spiritual vision. Where do you want to see yourself spiritually?
And
yes. How do you then implement that vision, that visual that you're seeing yourself in being spiritually?
Mm-hmm.
Financial would be your financial goals, you know, and that looks different for everybody. Some people's financial goal would be first clearing the debt.
Yeah.
You know, if I want to clear my 100,000 debt, how does that look like?
Mm.
How am I going to start? Where do I get the money? What is the duration period for me to actually get that paid off?
Mm.
For others would be, I want to be a millionaire. And I think that's like the famous one with our generation. I want to retire by the age of 40. I must be a multi-millionaire by the age of 40.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what most of us are saying. But then how does that actually look like in real life?
Mm.
How old are you now? Let's say I'm 33, for example. And I want to be a multi-millionaire by the age of 40. That is 7 years. What do I actually have in my current bank account?
Mm.
How much will I actually need to save, or what investments do I need to tackle in order for me to be a multimillionaire by the age of 40?
Mm.
So that would be the financial goals. It looks different for everybody. As I say, financial goals might be just to be in a place where they are able to have enough money so that they can be a blessing to other people.
Mm.
How are you going to tackle that? It looks different for
everybody. How do we get there? Yeah.
How do we get there? Yeah.
Is there anything like far-fetched? I've heard people saying, your vision is too far-fetched. Is there anything like that? we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
I'm struggling to answer this because I honestly believe there's nothing impossible.
Yeah.
It might be far-fetched. If you're not willing to put in the work.
And it's always too far-fetched to somebody who's not in your shoes.
Yeah.
To so you, it might be a big thing, but you know that you will get there with the help of the Lord.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. So, for example, let's say I want to be, go back to the example of the multimillionaire, right?
Yeah.
And I'll be like, I want to be a multimillionaire by the age of 40,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not doing anything about it. Then it becomes far-fetched.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that advert.
Yeah.
There's an advert that used to be like, one day is one day. Then the next year, one day is
one day. Is one day.
And then the next thing, they've got gray hair. Still saying one day is one day.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, for somebody else, they were like, by the age of this, I'm going to do this.
And so be the doer. Sure, yeah.
They did it. And for them, it wasn't far-fetched. So it all depends on, are you willing to put in the work?
Okay, all righty then. And so you were just about to do the other two before we check on today. Or did we do all four of the areas of focus?
Relationship goals, then I guess, would be, how would you want your relationships to look like? Do you need to change relationships? Do you need to improve your relationship?
Uh-huh.
Where do you see yourself in terms of relationships? And that is just relationships in general.
Mm-hmm.
Your friends, your colleagues, your family, your love, your spouse, regardless, you know, your children, if you've got children, how would you want that relationship to look like, and what do you need to do to acquire that relationship?
All righty then.
Mm-hmm. Then physical wellness and personal growth. Personal growth is just, I guess, what you need to do to grow. Where do you want to see yourself? Where do you see yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to this podcast, and the author of Atomic Habits,
mm-hmm.
James Clear, he mentioned, first discover who do you want to be. Mm-hmm. And from there, you know, you work on your habits and your visions and your goals. So I guess that's what personal growth would look like. How do you see yourself 2 years from now, 3 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
What exactly do I need to do to become that person?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the Bible talks about being the doers. The Lord always empowers us, but do we become the doers? And so we have to learn to be the doers of the word. And so today we are looking at how we can get to a point where we see our vision coming to reality. What is it that we need to put into place to make sure that we get there?
Well, for starters, I would say be honest with yourself. So mm-hmm. in introspection, do you really want what you claim you want? Is this really your vision, or is this something that you've just been saying but you have no intentions or desires of actually materializing this vision or goal that you have? So be honest with yourself. Make sure that your vision is clear.
Mm.
So when I say clear, it should be specific. If we go back to, for example, spiritual, I want to grow spiritually. What does that mean? Grow spiritually in what sense? Because if your vision is not clear, you won't be able to put an implementation plan
mm-hmm.
that works towards that vision. So you need to make sure that you are clear in and realistic on your vision. So realistic, what I mean by realistic, depends on, once again, how much you are willing to put into it. If I say I want to be a multimillionaire, if I've used that example again, but I'm not willing to save the specific amount, or I'm not willing to get into specific investments, for me to be able to get that money at that period,
mm-hmm.
then I'm not being realistic. But if I know that I will push, then I become realistic. So you need to be realistic. And realistic is literally on a personal level. It will look different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that I would say would be, then after that, you develop a concrete plan. Now you sit down and start analyzing. Okay, fine. I know I want to do A, B, C.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I want it to be done by this period, whether it's this year, next year, or 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do I then break down? If we say in the year 2022, I want to learn how to swim. Cool. You want to learn how to swim. Then that's the plan. Then the plan would be, actually need to find out how long does it take for a person to learn how to swim statistically.
Mm-hmm.
I need to find out how much would this actually cost me financially. I need to find out, where can I learn how to swim? Would it be a place close to my house? Would it be a place close to my workplace or mm-hmm. my school place, wherever? Mm-hmm. So it's like you need to create a concrete plan that then will allow you to make sure that you make your vision come to reality.
Mm-hmm.
If your plan is not concrete, it's very easy for you to just lose hope or change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, let's say I stay in, I don't know, Stain City, in Jesus' name. I stay in Stain City, and I choose my swimming lessons to be in Val,
mm-hmm.
for example. That's a drastic example, but just an example. The mere fact that there's such a distance between the two, I automatically feel lazy. And I might not even push to be consistent, because when I think about, oh my gosh, I must leave 10 feet to go to far, that is so long, I might as well. But then if I choose someone that is close by, I really don't have, distance is no longer an excuse. I've cut out that excuse. So mm-hmm. make sure that your plan is concrete and it works, it eliminates unnecessary excuses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also I would say understand that the process requires time. One of my weaknesses would be, I like, if I want something to be done, I want it to be done now. And when you look at the Bible, most of, you know, the people we admire from the Bible, from Joseph, from Abraham, from Saul, most of them, their process, even Jesus, you know, the process took long, because everything is being done in orderly form, step by step.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another thing that we need to understand, that reaching your goal or materializing your vision, it's a process. in that process, you learn what works, you learn what doesn't work, you set the vision is required, you learn more about yourself, but it's a process. It's not just something that is automatic. There's a say that says, Rome wasn't built in one day.
Yeah.
You know, it's a process. So you need to be patient with yourself. You need to understand that, yes, granted, if my vision takes 5 years, I can't expect by the end of December mm-hmm. to have everything done. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my favorite, maybe most probably should have been the second question.
Your favorite. I like that.
Have faith in God. Mm-hmm. And have faith in God in the sense that, yes, he's God, he's in control, but he's all-knowing. So if he gave you the vision, then he already knows that you are capable of materializing that vision. So have faith in that knowledge that God is there. He has entrusted you. For the mere fact that he has entrusted you, he knows that you are capable. Mm-hmm. And even if when you feel like you're not capable, you've got the access, being the Holy Spirit himself, he'll assist you and he'll provide the resources that is required to make sure that your vision comes into reality.
Wow. Wow, thank you so much for equipping us. And I hope that we are taking notes as we are making sure that in 2022, come 2023, I have to be talking a different story. Some of us, when Patricia, my queen, we have had these visions, but we never took time to even write down, you know, we never even took time to take a step. We have these visions, siyakhuluma, we speak,
yeah.
But never take a step of even writing, starting there, or even taking steps to make sure that we are bringing them through to reality. So thank you so much for equipping the saints. And I'm hoping that next time when we talk to you, hoping that we will be with you next week again. I would love for you to explain the vision board. I mean, the world is talking about a vision board. The world says, write your vision and make a vision board. You spoke about a vision board in one's mind. You know, see it in your mind, imagine it and all that. Mm. And that's what the world says. And the world says, put it down on paper, put it where you can see it. When you wake up, see it. And that will lead you to. So let's talk about a vision board. I believe it's still another way of writing the vision down, as the Lord says we ought to. Mm-hmm. And so you can also see it. So next week, we'll be doing that. Thank you so much for today. For family members seeking to talk to you directly, I know I have to release you. So for family members seeking to talk to you directly, how do they reach you?
They can email me at pcomani@gmail.com or follow me on Facebook, Trisha's Thoughts. So Thoughts as in thinking, right? Trisha's Thoughts. The spelling of that is TRICIAS, then Thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Instagram.
Alrighty then. Thank you so much. A blessed one unto you. May God richly bless you and may he keep you through and through. We love you so much. Now we're going to take this like really serious. Take God at his word and see and taste and see that the Lord is good. And we thank God for using you to speak into our lives. May God richly bless you. Thank you, my queen.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I am seeing you, Tatan Makamu, saying Manana Swangile Minjani. I'm listening with my nephew Samuel. Hello to you, Tatan Makamu, Tatani Jeremiah Simon Makamu. Thank you so much for being with us, with your nephew Samuel. Thank you for choosing us as your number one radio station. And may God really bless you for always showing your love. We love you too.
My eyes are on you, Jesus, only you, my hope is in you.
The Pulse on Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit.
Searching for a lifetime for some things to satisfy. Paid a lot of prices and so many nights I cried. In my time of desperation came a simple revelation, and that was all I ever really wanted was you. Thought I wanted money and I thought I wanted fame. Oh my, thought it would fulfill me, that's until it finally came. Then I sweetly heard you begging me, and it only took 1 second to see all I ever really wanted was you, yeah. There were times I didn't know what
I was to do,
said I didn't know what
to think of you.
But when I turned around, I turned and found you were there all the time. I didn't know what,
or where to go.
I didn't know what
I was to know.
But you loved me till you loved me to the truth. Yes, you
loved me like you.
If there were a moral to the things that I have learned, hey, it would be to follow love every move and every turn. In the time of second chances, what I found at second glances is that all I ever really wanted was you, yeah. There were times I didn't know what
I was to do.
I didn't know what
to think of you.
But when I turned around, I turned and found you were there.